Okay, our recommendation is that you curl up with a good book, and we post our book club selections each month at WGNradio.com, and once a month we like to carve out a little time for some recommendations. We used to do this all the time with Sarah Tiemann, who worked in our marketing department here in promotions. She has since moved to England, but she still wanted to be part of the club. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hello.
There you are. Bob Kessler. Bobby, are you going to join us as well?
I am in position.
Okay. Thanks for coming in early on this.
Of course. Steve, my pleasure.
Steve Alexander, you've been doing some reading as well, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to find your picture on your Facebook page, though.
WGN King John or the radio station Facebook page?
Okay. I'll keep looking.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they've taken it down because we violated some sort of FCC thing, but it's me just standing there in the cold. Sarah, welcome back to the show. I hope you're good in England.
Hi, John. Yes, I'm doing well. I hope you can all hear me okay.
You sound great. Very good, in fact. Particularly since, what is it there? You're several thousand miles away, and what is it, about 6 in the evening, 6:30?
5:30. I'm 6 hours ahead of you.
What's the book you want to start with, Sarah? What do you want to recommend for our listeners?
Well, I of the 102 books I read this past year, Culpability is the one that I think I would tell everyone to read. It's an engaging piece of fiction by Bruce Holzinger, all about grappling with our world of artificial intelligence. A family is driving in their autonomous vehicle. It's three children and their two parents. Everyone's in a different position in the car. An accident happens, and the book is the fallout from the accident. And I think it's a wonderful one for book clubs to discuss. There's a lot to unpack here. I know you mentioned Brenda had read it and loved it. It's just it's good food for thought, especially, you know, as we meander and figure out how to deal with AI in our lives. Plus, I think I mentioned maybe last month when I talked about it, too, there's sort of like a book within the book written by one of the characters of the family, the mother in the family, that I actually wish was a standalone book, because there's some real like kind of nuggets in there that she kind of shares dealing with the ethics of AI.
And what's the title one more time?
Culpability by Bruce Holzinger.
Bob Kessler, what's a book you liked lately?
I liked, this was my best overall for last year. I don't have Sarah Tiemann numbers. I read 75 books last year.
Wow.
So Emperor of Gladness by Ocean Vuong. It's not really high concept. It's about a young man who fails out of college. He's hiding it from his family. He's struggling with pill addiction. He's struggling to fit in. He wanders into a woman's house. She's got dementia. They end up helping each other out. It's so conceptually, it seems mundane, but the prose is very artful, and it is a commentary on what drug addiction is about, struggling to find oneself in your early 20s. It's so beautifully written, and it really touched me. I read it last August, but we are going over our reads for 2025. So I gave that my best overall award, Emperor of Gladness by Ocean Vuong, V-U-O-N-G.
Steve Alexander, what do you want to highlight?
I'm sure as both Bob and Sarah will say, it's hard to pick just one, right? I've gone with Raising Hair by Chloe Dalton. It's a memoir from 2024. Really a delightful, thoughtful look at nature and human interference or interaction with it. A woman who finds an abandoned baby hare and struggles with whether to leave it out there for nature to do what nature's going to do, or take it in and try to take care of it. Wonderful book.
I would put on I would say one of the best books I read this year was The Gales of November, The Untold Story of the Edmund Fitzgerald. You may have heard our interview with John Bacon here. We, of course, interviewed him on the anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Was that on anybody else's
list?
That was
my tied for best nonfiction. Two that I chose, because it's hard to pick one. So it is one of the two best nonfiction books I read.
Sarah, did you read that one as well?
I'm actually currently waiting for it to come in from the library, so I'm holding for it. So it'll be I'll have a later review sometime in 2026 when I finally get to it. But I put it on my list thanks to you guys, because I'm trying to, you know, it's different sources for me to draw upon. So that one had escaped me previously, yeah. But it definitely sounds interesting.
Gales of November by John Bacon. And it's just another one of those books where you know how it ends. We know the story. There's a song about the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. But the history that it teaches you, it's kind of in our own backyard. It's the Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. And again, the prose and the research are just so impressive. So I just couldn't turn those pages fast enough. Steve Alexander, give us another book you enjoyed in 2025.
In Kiltumper, A Year in an Irish Garden by Niall Williams and Christine Breen, his wife. It's a memoir that my wife Diane recommended to me. It's about the couple's 35 years tending a garden in a remote rural area of Western Ireland, where the development of windmills is encroaching on their lifestyle there. It's really brilliant. Kind of a must-read, I think, for anybody who loves to garden or who just loves wonderful writing. Niall Williams is just a beautiful writer.
We're going to post all of these at WGNradio.com, and this conversation will exist as a podcast if you can't write them all down. How about another recommendation from you, Sarah?
So this past year, my fiction and nonfiction were almost split. I did 50 nonfiction, and there were some real standouts in the nonfiction category. And I'll lead with Everything is Tuberculosis, The History and Persistence of Our Deadliest Infection by John Green. So John Green may be familiar to people. He wrote The Fault in Our Stars, which was adapted into a movie or a TV series. But this taught me a whole heck of a lot about tuberculosis that I didn't know. And he weaves the history of it. It's like science and medicine, but not shoved down your throat. It's interesting and fascinating. And there are a lot of aha, like, wow, I didn't know that, or whoa, kind of food for thought. And he tells you about meeting a young boy named Henry in Sierra Leone when he happened to be over there on a different sort of mission. And Henry's story is kind of interwoven through the book about tuberculosis. And really, it's a disease of poverty, and it's one that we could eliminate if we wanted to, but you know, countries choose not to. So, you know, in certain places of the world, it's not an issue. But apart from the COVID years, it's the number one killer of people in the world is tuberculosis. So it's a relatively short book. I'd probably say it's maybe 300 pages or less, but captivating every single word. I'll probably actually reread it again in 2026. Highly, highly recommend it. Is great.
Everything is Tuberculosis
by John Green.
Bob, you know, we don't normally talk about graphic novels on this show, and yet you read How War Begins.
That was great. Yes, it was came out in 2023. Igort is the name of the author, the artist, and he is Italian. But it's a series of vignettes based on social media posts from people in Ukraine during the Russian invasion, and it. I wanted to learn more about that event, that is, as it unfolds.
Yeah.
But it really gives you a human connection in a way that just straight up written words can't. I mean, it has written words in it, but it's many, many different stories, many different vignettes, artistically portrayed. Heartbreaking, of course, but very edifying. Yeah.
How War Begins, dispatches from the Ukrainian invasion. Yeah. I've seen some of the images, Bob. I haven't read the book. I did read the review of it. I haven't gotten around to it. I don't normally go to this kind of book. I don't know that I will. But the images themselves, the drawings looked harrowing. And they said it. Sometimes they were impressionistic and sometimes they were literal, but it was really impactful, right?
Yeah, very much so. And I probably read, I don't know, half a dozen graphic novels last year. Yeah, it's kind of a category I'm still exploring, but that one was essential, I would say.
John Williams here, along with newsman Bob Kessler, Sarah Tiemann, our longtime employee, now dispatched to England, and Steve Alexander as we review some of our favorite books. I should tell you all that the other day I mentioned that I watched Train Dreams. It's nominated for Best Picture this year, and my son right away sent me his copy of Dennis Johnson's Train Dreams. And he said, I've got the book at my apartment, Dad. It's only 100 pages. You should give it a try. It's one of my all-time favorites. Griffin has read a lot. This is Dennis Johnson's Train Dreams, and I'm going to pick up the novella and see how that goes. The movie was wonderful, though. The movie was wonderful. Who's up next? We just said, I think it's Steve Alexander's turn.
Yep. Okay, let's go with Memorial Days by Geraldine Brooks. It's a memoir from last year. It's centered on the unexpected death of her husband, celebrated journalist and author Tony Horowitz. He dropped dead on a Washington sidewalk at the age of 60. And this is just a really raw and real story, as she describes dealing amid the grief with financial issues that Tony never told her about, and just trying for months to tie up so many loose ends that he left behind when he died so unexpectedly.
One more time, Steve, the title of that?
Memorial Days by Geraldine Brooks.
What's a work of fiction, Sarah, that on your list of 50 you want to highlight?
Harlem Rhapsody by Victoria Christopher Murray. She actually co-wrote The Personal Librarian with Marie Benedict, that I know Steve Alexander read and enjoyed. But this one kind of goes into my favorite fiction, which is historical fiction. So I was introduced to Jesse Redmond Fawcett, who I was unfamiliar with. She's living in Harlem during the Harlem Renaissance period, and she's hired on to be the literary editor of W.E.B. Du Bois' magazine, The Crisis. And she's kind of tasked with finding new writers. And she found and discovered people like Langston Hughes. She's a real character, but fictionalized in this story. She also had an affair with Du Bois. So it kind of tackles, you know, her navigating kind of personal and professional. But I love when I get introduced to, you know, real people kind of in a fictionalized way that I wasn't familiar with. And it was very engaging.
Bob Kessler, what else are you enjoying this year?
Joyce Carol Oates, famous American author. I think she's written close to 60 books, and she must be around 80-something, close to 90 years old. So her book Fox got my award for best fiction I read last year. Again, conceptually, doesn't sound like it would be a book I wanted to read, but it got such good reviews. It's about a teacher at a boarding school, an elite boarding school in New Jersey, and there's all kinds of terrible misconduct charges, and it's told in a kind of flashback way, flash forward, and it's, again, she's such a beautiful writer, and it's sort of a murder mystery and kind of a revenge tale and a lot of other things. And written from all these different perspectives, it really shows she's still doing her best stuff, for one thing. Yeah, Fox by Joyce Carol Oates.
And Bob, while you're chatting away there, you and I both maybe appreciated more than enjoyed Unforgiving Places, The Unexpected Origins of Gun Violence by Chicago's Jens Ludwig. He was on with us when the book came out. And I noticed that you put that on some of your best nonfiction.
That was my tied for best nonfiction, yes. And it's such a difficult issue, gun violence, urban gun violence, but he does lay it out in a way that's, wow, that really makes sense. And these are some possible solutions that we could work towards in bettering. It really has to do with the nature of communities that leads to gun violence. But it applies to everybody's life, and how sometimes our emotions can get the best of us, and to strive to take a healthy step backwards sometimes so that doesn't happen. Yeah, it was excellent.
Unforgiving Places by the U's Jens Ludwig. Sarah, we're getting close to the end of the segment today, but give me another book you enjoyed this year.
The few I talked about earlier in the year, but The Serviceberry, Abundance and Reciprocity in the Natural World by Robin Wall Kimmerer. It's a delightful short book surrounding the serviceberry, which is actually known by many different names, including like the shadbush, I think it is. But it's just like a lovely way for us to rethink like our kind of economy. Obviously, you know, what would it be like if we only took enough? Like, we would always know that, you know, we could get more of it. And it's just like a delightful little ponderance. And she uses the serviceberry tree to illustrate how, you know, gift reciprocity works in the natural world, and how, you know, if we all took enough, just our share, there would be enough. And it's really delightful. She also wrote Braiding Sweetgrass, which has been on my list for a really long time. But it's a delightful little book, especially, you know, while we're in this period of wintering. If, you know, you want to connect with, you know, the natural world, it's a good one.
Among the texts today, I read The Correspondent last month, and it was one of my most favorite books. 224 said, loved Gales of November. Everything is Tuberculosis was good. Favorite current book, Theo of Golden, a treasure of a book that has wonderful nuggets on how to be kind woven throughout. And 773 said, currently reading Gales of November based on your interview with the author, one of the best books I have ever read, and was The Sign and the Seal, as was The Sign and the Seal, The Search for the Lost Ark of the Covenant. I would not have known that the book, if it not for an in-depth interview by the author, of the author by Roy Leonard. Well, that must be a long time ago if it was our Roy Leonard. And I wanted to share with you guys one other message that I got from my brother this morning. He is in charge of his book club in Arizona. And so he wrote to Andrew Sorkin, who wrote 1929, which is on the bestseller list still. So he reached out to him via, I'm not sure what platform, but he said, hi, Andrew. 5 years ago, I started a small book club after retiring from Caterpillar for 33 years. Our book club consists of five members, all extraordinarily bright and funny guys, and we have a great time reviewing books. 1929 was suggested, and we all agreed it might be an important read. Turns out it's almost everyone's favorite book, 1929. So here's my one in a million shot. Would you be willing to join our book club review of 1929 for 1 hour some evening? Grab your favorite beverage and listen to us review your book. Obviously, we would love to hear from you, your process, your take on today's parallels to 1929. We are all retired and have lots of flexibility in our schedule. Would you join us? And he wrote back to my brother.
And
he said, thank you so much for this note and for reading 1929 with such care. I'm genuinely touched to hear that it became a favorite of your group, and I love the idea of a small, thoughtful book club like yours. It sounds like a wonderful way to spend an evening, but I'm sorry to say I won't be able to join you for the discussion. My schedule and work-related constraints make it difficult for me to participate. That said, I'm deeply grateful that you and your friends spent time with the book, and I'm delighted it sparked conversation and debate. Knowing it found its way into a group like yours really does mean a great deal to me. With thanks and best wishes, Andrew. The guy doesn't have to show up now. What a thoughtful response.
Yeah.
That's cool. Wow.
Okay, gang, 1 minute left.
His book is also on my 2026 list.
No. Well, did you read it, or Steve? Somebody in my
I haven't
no. read that. Steve, did you?
Know.
On my list, yeah.
Okay, one last title, if that's all we have time for. Steve, anything else you want to throw out into the ether?
I'm late on this one. I think it's a 2023 book. It's Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt.
Sure.
Yay.
It's so good. Just a beautiful and tender story about loss and friendship with a touch of fantasy in the form of a talking giant Pacific octopus who serves as a detective and a facilitator in helping heal some of the human pain. It's just a wonderful book.
John Hanson loved 1929, by the way. One more title from you, Bob. Go.
Marvelous Jackson, a young adult novel about a young man who loses his mother and finds his way by becoming passionate about baking. And there are recipes in the back, and I've even made some of them and brought them in.
And one more from Sarah.
Share the Memoir Part 1, which came out in 2024, made my top 10 of 2025, and Part 2 is due to come out in 2026. There have been some delays, but super excited to read Part 2 because Part 1 was like just what a wild ride she's led.
Stay well across the pond, Sarah team, and let's do this again soon.
Thank you, and I am back on top with 102 books for the year, so...
She did it again. Thanks, everybody.